a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. Sam Farnsworth is joining me here today. I wasn't sure I was going to do this, Sam. I wasn't sure I was going to come in for the Jazz Notes podcast. And the reason why is that I had some dental work done on Wednesday. Mm. And my mouth was all swollen and it felt weird. And I thought, if it feels like this on Thursday, I'm not going to do it. But I survived. I feel a lot better. And now I'm here. And Sam's here.
You're back.
And you know what? The great part about it is that Sam provided us with content today. That's what I love about Sam. Sam provided us with content today. What you're probably wondering, what do you mean with Sam providing his content mm-hmm. today? Well, let me explain to you why Sam is the man today. Well, that turned out well. Right? Sam is the man today because he wrote a story on KSLSports.com that basically said, here's why Rudy Gobert is the first half MVP, since we're right at the first half mark. Mm-hmm. Here's why Rudy Gobert is the first half MVP, not only for the Utah Jazz, but the first half MVP for the NBA.
That's right.
And so I wanted to quiz Sam about this. I said, oh, this is going to be fun. We're going to treat it like a courtroom drama. You know what I need right now? I need like that doing doing from like Law and Order or something like that.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. We need something like that. So Sam is here. He's going to be the defense attorney. Why he thinks Rudy Gobert should be the first half MVP here in the NBA. And I'm going to grill him saying, wait, you can't do this. So first question I have for you, or the first argument I would have about Rudy Gobert being the first half MVP, Sam, is a defensive first guy can't be an MVP because this is an offensive league. Or I could also, no, we'll just stick with that one for right now.
So, yeah, so just the premise of this whole thing was that, you know, Rudy Gobert definitely deserves to be in MVP conversations. You know, if the season ended today, or if it, you know, when it does end, I state this in my article on KSLSports.com as well.
That's a lot of qualifiers now, Sam.
Rudy Gobert wouldn't be named the MVP, but he needs to be in the discussion. He deserves it. He needs to be in there. And yeah, you can say what you want about it. And you know, I read other articles and commentaries out there that agree that the MVP is primarily an offensive player's award. That's why they have the Defensive Player of the Year award. You know, you don't have Offensive Player of the Year; you have Defensive Player of the Year. So, and that's part of the reason why they say, you know, it's easy to write off Gobert because Defensive Player of the Year, we don't have to talk about him for MVP anymore. So here's the thing, though. What Rudy Gobert offensively is doing is unlike anyone else ever in the NBA. To compare it, in the early 80s, 80, 81, and 81, 82, Artis Gilmore is the only other player who's done what Rudy Gobert did last season and what Rudy Gobert is about to do again this season. That is a player to average more than 15 points a game and shoot 67% from the field while averaging more than 10 rebounds a game and getting two block shots. So it's more of a well-rounded effort. No one's done that before. Only Rudy Gobert and Artis Gilmore. No one has been able to put together those types of numbers. And you might think, okay, that's not that thrilling, or, you know, you were looking for someone who creates baskets and scores points. Well, Rudy does that too, in a statistic that is becoming increasingly more popular, a statistic that head coach Quinn Snyder references on a regular basis. Is screen assists. Okay, it's not in the box score. You're not going to see it unless you're looking into the deep dive of analytics and stats on you know NBA websites. You're not going to see it in a box score. You're not going to see it in the paper. But Rudy Gobert dominates the NBA in screen assists per game at nearly 8 per game. What that means is every screen, 8 times a game, Rudy Gobert sets a screen that results directly in his teammate scoring a basket that he screened for. That's big time. That's creating points in a totally other way, right, without actually scoring the ball. There needs to be some recognition for that as well because he dominates in that category, and that still equals points. Just as Donovan Mitchell hits a jump shot or makes a layup is worth 2 points, you're getting 2 points off of those screens that Rudy sets as well.
See, I was going to make an argument, by the way, and I'm going to throw my 2 cents in here too, because I don't think Rudy's going to be an MVP anytime soon. He'll win Defensive Player of the Year, and he'll get a lot of accolades, and he may even be an All-Star this year. If he's not, I would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying what I said, a defensive guy can't be an MVP, I was also going to add in there, I just wrote a whole bunch of things out, and one of them I said was, he's not a good all-around player. And I think going against both of those, what you're showing right there in your argument is that actually he is a good all-around player. Mm-hmm. He does a little of everything.
Yeah.
And we'll get to another one of my arguments here in a second, but he does a little bit of everything. And you could almost say the same thing about Steph Curry. Meaning when I say he's not a good all-around player, really Steph's an offensive player. Mm-hmm. And he won the MVP twice.
Not just an offensive player, he's a shooter.
Yeah, he's a shooter. And he's a good one.
Yeah.
He's a really good one.
He's great.
And he's actually quick, and he can get to the basket, and he makes amazing shots. But guess who teams pick on whenever teams play the Golden State Warriors? It's Steph Curry. If you can exploit Steph Curry, you're going to have quite an advantage. And so the Warriors try to minimize that as much as possible. So to just sit there and say Rudy's not a good all-around player... Guys that have been offensive-only players have been MVP before, and it's not just Steph Curry. You could go to Steve Nash, too. Steve Nash was a good player, but he was an offensive-only player.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's kind of like the Heisman right now in football.
Right.
When you think Heisman, you think, oh, it's the best football player in all of college football. Well, right now it's turned into who's the best quarterback in all of college football? That's basically what it's turned into. So it'd be nice if you could look at it other ways, but I understand kind of why it doesn't always... happen that way. Okay, so my second argument that I need you to defend,
okay.
He cannot score on his own.
Okay, and I see where you're going with that because a lot of his points come off of a screen and roll, a pick and roll with the alley-oop. He does score a lot on the alley-oop. I will say this about Rudy Gobert. He does create a lot of his scoring opportunities. He may not always convert on those opportunities, but he has consistently this season, especially during this last win stretch of 15 out of 16 games, he's going to the free throw line 10-plus times a game about. You know what I mean? And I get it. He's only about a 60-ish, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but in the 60s, probably low 60s percent from the free throw line. But he is creating opportunities to still put points on the board. He's drawing contact. He's getting to the free throw line. And Rudy Gobert still leads the league in points in the paint. Whether it's on an alley-oop or not, he's still getting the ball down low, and he's converting. And when I think of someone who creates points in the paint, and I know it's two different games, two different skill sets, but I think of Shaquille O'Neal. He was dominant in the paint. Rudy Gobert is a pretty dominating force in the paint, even if it is from a pick and roll and a toss from a teammate. It is hard to defend him when he's in the paint. He's got length. He's got the long arms. He can jump, and he does have strength. He's able to get people out of the way, and put the ball in the hoop or at least draw contact and have a chance to make some free throws. So I think Rudy Gobert does create opportunities to score in the paint that not a lot of other players in the NBA do anymore.
I would add on there, if I was going to be arguing for your side, I would also add, and it kind of goes along with what you said, he's still a threat to score.
Yes.
It's not like you just throw him out there and he sits on the perimeter, or he's just setting screens,
right,
and then he kind of fades back so he can go play defense. He's still a threat to score. Mm-hmm. He's still that guy that can score, maybe not all on his own, but everyone has to account for him.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and say, well, Rudy Gobert, he's negative on offense, because he's not.
Yeah, and Donovan Mitchell has been praising him lately for his offensive ability. Basically, Mitchell has said that He's a guy that the Jazz can count on when they need a bucket. There's a lot of options on this Jazz team, which I think is one of the reasons why they're a difficult team to play against, is because any single player can go for 20 plus on any given night in that starting lineup, and even a couple guys from the bench. But Rudy Gobert is an option. They don't need him to score 20 points a game. If they needed him to, I honestly think he could average in that 20 to 22 point per game range. The thing is, they just don't need him to. In fact, so I'll point out some of the things that might contradict my argument for MVP, is that he is averaging 1 point less per game this season compared to last season. His total for the season at this point now, he's 1 point less per game, but still, I'm going to go back to the whole overall. His rebounds are up. His blocks are right where they should be. The screen assists again, the field goal percentage is up. So Rudy Gobert is one of those players. And I think what it comes down to, I'm going to make it a little more vague here, but what it comes down to is when you're looking at how valuable, this is the way I've always kind of felt when you look at MVP, is how valuable the player is to their team. You take Rudy Gobert out of the mix, Jazz are going to struggle because there's really no one else who can do what Rudy does on that team. You take Donovan Mitchell out of the mix, and I'm not saying the Jazz aren't going to struggle, but I think it's a little easier to find someone who can do some of the things that Donovan does. Now, clutch, crunch time, that's different. Donovan is clutch. He's played big time in the fourth quarter lately, but I think he would be easier to replace on the Jazz than Rudy Gobert would be.
Well, we saw it just the other day. I know it was against maybe not a great team, but mm-hmm. Donovan didn't play.
Right.
Jazz still won. So it's nice when you can have a guy like Donovan Mitchell out there, and he's still the face of the franchise, and eventually he probably becomes an all-star and maybe even an MVP valid candidate in the future. But as of right now, Rudy's still pretty much the guy for this team. All right, I got a couple more for Sam, but first we need to take a quick break.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. We're talking about Sam's story about Rudy being the MVP of the first half. I'm kind of shooting some of the holes in his theories here, but also kind of agreeing with him in some form or fashion.
Right.
Okay, so here's another argument against Rudy. I said that he cannot score on his own. I'm going to go a little different path and something similar, but a little different. Rudy really can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the argument. He's not a shooter out there. Mm-hmm. All of his scores are dunks or free throws or something very similar to that, or layups, yeah, or something, yeah, right near the basket.
Right.
So what's your argument against that?
I don't know if I can argue against that. So I remember when he was first really getting, in his second and third year in the league, when the Jazz were first really getting him some run on the floor, I felt like, man, this is a big guy who not only can play in the paint, throw the ball down, block shots, but I kind of felt like he had a little bit of a touch, a shooting touch. And maybe that was just me watching the games on occasion, when I was living in Colorado, seeing him at the free throw line. I felt like he was a better free throw shooter earlier in his career than maybe he is now. I could be wrong.
It's because he's lifting too much.
Who knows, right? I felt like he had some mid-range. And then the other night, he had this little mid-range baseline jumper from about 14 feet that just looked like he had no business shooting it, right? So, again, my only counter to that is that that's not who he is. That's not what he needs to be. Shaquille O'Neal never had a shot, And he was, again, I'm not trying to compare Rudy Gobert to Shaq. It's two different big men, okay? But Shaquille O'Neal never had a shot. He never needed to have a shot. That's not what he, that's not what his teams needed him to do. That's not what he needed to do. And I'll make the same argument for Rudy Gobert. His teams don't need him to shoot the ball. He doesn't need to shoot the ball. He needs to get inside, get rebounds, second chance points. He needs to be there for the lob. He needs to throw down the dunks. He needs to draw contact and get the chance to create points at the free throw line, which he did better. He does do better than Shaq. And that's his game. That's who he is. So I think the counter to he can't shoot well is, well, that's not what he does. He doesn't have to shoot well, you know? And that's not the player who he is. So I think that's a flawed attempt to throw a flaw into my argument.
Okay, all right. Argument for in your behalf, I would say, really the guy who's probably the leading candidate to be MVP.
Yes.
Giannis, I guess you could say there's James Harden too. So the two main leading candidates, yeah. Giannis, Harden, LeBron. If I'm going to go with Giannis, the guy who won last year, mm-hmm. in reality, he can't shoot either. He's not a good shooter, but yeah. he's so long and he can maneuver his way to the basket. That's why he's the MVP. And every once in a while, he hits something from the outside. All right, my final argument against Sam. Ready?
Let's hear it.
He's not one of the 5 to 10 best players in the NBA.
And you're probably right, again. And so for me, I go back to the whole argument that what determines value, the most valuable player? Again, I look at the value of that player to their team and what they've done for their team. So to give you a few comparisons out there, because, you know, when you think about who's the best players in the NBA, defensively, he's obviously going to be right at the top. Because when we think about that, we're starting to think of statistics. And I think second to statistics, you look at the team and how well the team is doing wins, right? That's generally what it does. Long gone are the days, you know, back in the baseball days when your MVP Ernie Banks would be on a terrible Cubs team or Dale Murphy would be on a bad Braves team or something like that. You got to pick a team from a winner. And I'll say this, Rudy Gobert is obviously on a winning team. Here's something that I think helps in a sense. He is playing better through the first 40 games this year than he was last year, and the Jazz are 8 games better through the first 40 games than they were last year. They're a plus 8 in that category. This is a team that won 50 games last year, made it to the playoffs as the 5th seed. They're already 8 games ahead of where they were at the midway point. I think that plays into how valuable Rudy is. I think it plays into, again, how valuable Donovan is. We've seen Donovan push his game to a step ahead as well. And I think the way these guys are playing are direct correlation of the Jazz being 8 games ahead of where they were last year. Now, you could make that argument for other players as well, being the best in the league. I think if I were to actually pick the NBA MVP, I would probably side with Anthony Davis, even ahead of LeBron.
Really?
Because he goes to a Lakers team with LeBron James that was out of the playoffs last year, and they are 12 games better right now than where they were at this time last year. Anthony Davis leads the team in points, rebounds, blocks, and steals. There is an argument to be made that he could be Defensive Player of the Year. I still think Rudy does a little more defensively than Anthony Davis does. So that's my argument for Rudy, is that his value to his team, the Jazz are not plus 8 in the win-loss column if Rudy Gobert is not in the lineup.
I would probably say the thing that hurts him the most is just not enough name recognition, and probably he's mainly a defensive player.
That's why he's not getting All-Star recognition either.
I mean, LeBron's playing fantastic this year, but the reason why he's still in the debate or can be talked about is because he's still one of the 5 best players in the NBA. And you just don't find that. You don't find that defensive players get enough credit. And I'm one of the guilty ones in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch basketball, what do I like to see? I like to see good offense. It's not that I say that I don't appreciate good defense, but I like to see offense. And when I think of MVPs, I think of all-around candidates, and mm-hmm. the first thing I think is, can he score? Mm-hmm. Can he play defense? Is he getting rebounds? Can he do a little bit of everything? And would you go to and maybe this is the final argument against Rudy.
Yeah.
In the clutch,
right,
would you say, hey, Rudy, go get us a bucket? And you just can't say that with him right now.
You're right. The only time I think you would see the Jazz in the clutch needing a bucket going to Rudy Gobert would be a designed inbounds play or something that goes directly to the rim, right? Right now, when the Jazz need a bucket and you're in the final seconds, it starts with Donovan and it goes from there. But yeah, you're right. You know, and that is one of the things that that's, and here, that's also one of the reasons why big men in the NBA maybe don't get the same love they used to 15, 20 years ago, you know, because the game has evolved so much. It is much more of a shooter's game. You still want the offense, like you said. I mean, what James Harden's doing is ridiculous, averaging nearly 40 points a game, you know, 30-something points a game with 30-something minutes a game. It's crazy, but that's the game that the NBA is today, and Rudy Gobert is a unique piece to that, and I think that's what makes him even more unique on the whole. It's just another reason why I think he just needs his name should not be overlooked. If someone is, this is the main reason why I wrote the article, is just to get people thinking. When you're looking at your list, your ADs, your LeBrons, your Giannis's, your Hardens, whoever else you want, Jimmy Butler maybe with the Heat, whoever else you want to throw in there. If when you're debating it all, just throw Rudy's name in there and have the conversation, because yeah, he is a valuable player, a unique player in this league that's unlike what anyone else in the league can do.
Last thing, I think the real reason he's not being considered is because he's French. All right, that's going to actually do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. We both got to get out of here. Thanks a lot for listening, downloading, and subscribing. Let us know what you think of the podcast. We'll have much more coming up next week with Ben Anderson, myself, probably Sam too. He likes coming in. So anyway, well, we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.